Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Amen. Good evening, everybody. I am Pastor Toy, and I would like to welcome you to tonight's episode of Toy Talk on this, the 1,152nd episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. Amen. Now, tonight on Toy Talk, we are going to be discussing what is going on around us, but we're going to be doing it with a little twist. Usually we talk amongst ourselves and we discuss what is going on with this current pandemic and how it is affecting us as individuals, how it's affecting our families and our community. However, tonight, we are going to talk to the person in charge of it all here in the United States of America. That's right, we are going to be talking to President Donald Trump. Now, understand, I said talking to and not talking with. No, he is not here with us to talk with us in person. However, I have made arrangements, and a copy of this transcript will be going to the White House, as well as to Congress, as well as to the Senate, because sometimes they look at us and all of that they see is numbers. And what I want is I want them to hear the voice of the people. I want them to get numbers out their head and hear some voices, hear how the people are actually being affected by this current pandemic. And the only thing I can promise you is that tonight's message may be listened to. I cannot promise you that they will hear us, because we all know there's a difference between being listened to and being heard. Now, this evening, we have some guests here with us, and they are going to read their Dear Mr. President. We also, as we always do on Toy Talk, we have the motherboard here with us this evening, and we are going to close out, as we always do, in prayer, because at the end of the day, I really believe it's a waste of time to talk about it and not pray about it. I really believe that prayer changes things. I really believe in the power of two or three touching together and agreeing on God's word in prayer. So we are going to close out in prayer. Now, although we have some people scheduled to come on and talk with us about how they or their communities or their families are being affected by what's going on around us, please do not think that we do not want to hear from you as well. So you can call in and talk with us live on the air. The number is 319-527-6091. Again, 319-527-6091. Or if you are a Metro or T-Mobile customer, you can call in to 323-870-4174. And if you would like to voice your opinion live on the air, just simply hit 1 and we will bring you on so that your voice can be heard. Please do me a favor, send out a text, SMS, DM someone and let them know that we are broadcasting live now on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Again, this is Toy Talk. I am Pastor Toy Daly, and we will be talking about Dear Mr. President. And before we go any further, as we always do here at Purpose Kingdom, we are going to open with a quick word of prayer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Father God, it is we, your handmaid servants, that come humbly before the throne of glory. We come, Father God, with some concern in our spirit, but with a praise on our lips. Hallelujah, God. We come, Father God, to thank you for allowing us all to get to this day, to this hour where we can come together and reason one with another. We ask, Father, that you will move by your might and your power this evening, that you will release a refreshing anointing of your Holy Spirit upon your creation in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask, Father God, that you will touch each and every one that is dealing with this current pandemic in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I surrender myself to your will and your way this evening, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give me the boldness to say that which you would have me to say in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask most importantly, God, that through it all, you may open someone's eyes, someone's ears long enough, God, that they may see that even in the midst of this situation, they need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask these and all other blessings in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, God. Again, I'm just excited about what God is going to do. And about our topic this evening, dear Mr. President. Now, before everyone comes on, I want to talk about what is going on really quickly right here in the United States of America. The new epicenter of COVID-19 pandemic is now the United States of America, with more than 82,000 plus cases. There has also been at least 1,100 plus deaths now connected to this virus. The United States has the highest number of COVID-19 cases in the world, surpassing China's 81,782 cases. For the United States, New York remains the epicenter of the virus, with at least 37,000 cases reported there and 385 deaths. This disease, this coronavirus, was first reported in Wuhan, China. Now, in fairness, before I get about talking to how we dropped the ball, in fairness, China dropped the ball with how they handled the reporting of important information to the World Health Organization, WHO. And they shut up any doctors or leaders there who were trying to report and get the truth out. For example, Dr. Li Wenliang, who when he attempted to inform other doctors that this was a human-to-human transmitted disease, they called him to the Public Security Bureau and accused him of spreading rumors. They had him sign a fine and a waiver where he promised to be quiet. He was not the only doctor. He's the only one that I could find out what happened to. The rest of them, I don't know what happened. However, what I do know is that roughly 1 month after the first case was discovered in Wuhan, the United States government was notified about what was going on with what we now call COVID-19. This has been the response of President Donald Trump since first finding out about this pandemic. From the first time that he found out about COVID-19 and begun to come forward. Now, forgive me, I may have missed some dates, but I'm going to go over as many dates as I can. On January 22nd, in a television interview on CNBC, the day after the first COVID-19 case was reported in America, Joe Kernan asked Trump, "Are you worried about a pandemic at this point?" The president's response was, "No, not at all. We have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China, and we have it under control. It's going to be just fine." Now, during the following weeks, President Trump could have chosen to take steps to protect American citizens in an attempt to slow the spread of the virus, but Trump decided to ignore the entire situation. as well as he decided to ignore the warnings of some of his own staff. For example, Dr. Anthony Fusa, who he just totally dismissed. Brother Tom Frieden, who ran the Center for Disease Control, he totally dismissed. On January 24th, Trump tweeted, "It will all work out well." He tweeted, "It will all work out well." This is the President of the United States talking about what is currently going on with the COVID-19 virus. It will all work out well. On January 28th, he retweeted a headline from One American News, which is a fake news outlet. Imagine that, as much as he complains about them, stating that Johnson & Johnson was creating a coronavirus vaccine. At the time, that was not true. On January 30th, during a speech he gave in Michigan, he stated, "We have it well under control. We have very little problem in this country. At this moment, only 5, and those people are all recuperating successfully." On January 31st, Trump took his first and only aggressive action to try to stop the spread of this disease, and he barred any foreigners who had recently been to China from entering the United States. However, he took no concern with United States citizens who were coming back from China. 2 days later, on Fox News, when Sean Hannity asked how concerned was the president about the coronavirus, he replied again with, "Well, we pretty much shut it down coming in from China. We have a tremendous relationship with China, which is a very positive thing, getting along with China, getting along with Russia, getting along with other countries." I don't know what getting along with other countries had to do with shutting this down, but that was his answer. On February 5th, the CDC started shipping coronavirus test kits to different laboratories across the country, but there was a malfunction with the test kits, and they were giving false results. When this was reported, instead of Trump administration taking action, they stayed very relaxed about finding ways around this situation. They could have went to the World Health Organization and got their test kits to go across the country, but they chose not to. They could have turned around and changed some regulations within the health field to allow private hospitals and laboratories and colleges to begin to work on creating test kits and vaccines and treatments, but they chose not to. The sad part on it is that on February 10th, he reportedly stated in a speech to the governors at a campaign rally and in an interview with Tris Regan of Fox Business that as soon as the spring weather gets here, it's going to kill the virus. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. On February 19th, he told the Phoenix television station that the numbers would get progressively better as we go along. And I could go on and on and on and list all of the things that President Trump did or said that downplayed this particular situation, this current pandemic, COVID-19. Even when you go back to February 23rd, when he announced that they had the situation so much under control, he said at that point it was only 12 people and that they had all gotten very much better. He then began to do what he always does and plays the blame game. He blamed CNN and MSNBC for panicking marketers. He stated at a South Carolina rally that this was the Democrats' and because they have open border policy. When it all comes down to, dear Mr. President, what happened? You let us down. And again, the list goes on. I have taken it all the way down to about March 5th in the last statement that he made. But where I'm at with it is, when we look at the current situation of what is going on in America, when we the everyday citizens who are living it, when we the everyday citizens are living in it, trying to figure out what to do, how to do, and how to stay safe, trying to disintegrate the fake news from what's honestly and accurately being said, listening to the president's speeches and then waiting for his aides to come back and speak so that we can hear what correct information we might need to hear. And then what I realized as I was looking at this situation is that, in all fairness, if you are in Washington, D.C. right now, all you are seeing are numbers. It doesn't mean that they, you know, that they're being cold or callous to the situation that's going on, at least not all of them. But it means all they see is numbers. And, you know, when all you see is numbers, it helps you separate yourself some from the situation, because now you're playing a number game. And it's like, if it's so many people, this is the percentage of what we're okay with. They're playing with numbers. And today's opportunity of what we're doing this evening, we are giving the people a chance to allow them to no longer see numbers but hear voices. Amen. And you don't, we're not asking you to call in and say who you are or anything like that, because we know that some people are fearful of what Trump may do and how Trump may act. Come on and let us know how you are dealing in this current situation. Just come on and let us know how this current situation is affecting or affecting you. Amen. And again, before I bring on our first dear Mr. President, if you would like to join in, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. Again, 319-527-6091 or 323-870-4174. So now we have our first caller with us this evening, and we would like to bring him on to do the very first dear Mr. President. My brother, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am here. I am here. And, you know, wrap everything up very briefly. And, you know, the reason why this disease is called COVID-19 is because there was a doctor named Zio, not good with Chinese pronunciation, but the doctor's name, the initial doctor that discovered everything was Dr. Zio. I'm just going to spell his name, B-I-A-N-X-I-A-N-G. And he initially reported this. And what he did was, you know, it wasn't China to let everyone know. It was basically WHO, which is the World Health Organization. And what they did was they actually trying to contact this doctor, but, you know, the Chinese government is a government that is socialist. And I know everybody criticizes, the candidates for president right now that use the word socialist. But the reason that the word socialist means is that, you know, they're a socialist society. And so basically they control how that country socializes with the community in the world and anybody else. So by the time the World Health Organization got a hold of him, he said, everything's fine. We have everything under control. And, you know, don't worry about it. This is November of 2019. WHO, which is the World Health Organization, they categorize everything. They are the ones that make sure that even if it's something that's under control, they make sure that it is documented and that everything is fine. By the time they checked up on his doctor, he was near death, treating all these patients. And basically, his country said, hey, you have to find a solution to this because we made you the face of our nation, so you have to be responsible for our nation's citizens. You have to find a cure. Unfortunately, this doctor was not able to find a cure. It was another doctor that was able to find a solution to minimize the problem, not cure it, but minimize the problem. And this is through a period of incubation and isolation. And this is where we got right now, where we have that minimum contact with people, maintain a 6 foot social, endeavor. And just real quickly, let me just explain how right now in Wuhan, China, and the whole country of China are able to, control and minimize it, and, as they say, flatten the curve. Because right now, China has not led in anything in any part of anything worldwide besides import and export. The United States is a capitalist country. The one thing about a capitalist country is they don't curb, what citizens say. They curb the amount of income this country makes. So the difference between the two countries is they're worried about it. You can take the words from our own president, is where he says, hey, $1 trillion, so we expect by Easter everything's fine. That is a true capitalistic way, and that is the true way that each and every company that's operating that has been shut down are thinking, that we paid for, results, so it should happen. The one thing about a socialist country is we tell our citizens what we expect and what we want done. When China shut down, China truly shut down. The only one person that left there was a United States citizen that was a teacher that had COVID, had the COVID, the coronavirus. And that was at the request of the Department of the State Department and the CDC in Atlanta, because they would say, we want to personally treat this person because we thought you were not forthcoming on what was going on. And the reason why was because, like I said, China is a socialist country. They want to make sure that if yes.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off on that, but if you remember at the start of it, I said that China made their mistake. But tonight, we're not dealing with China. We're dealing with the states that we made, the mistakes that was made here in America. Because at the end of the day, China is healing.
Right.
And we're getting sicker.
Right.
So
and
how
we
are
mentioned
China.
Yeah, the reason why I mentioned China is because China, and even though, like I said, it looks like we're two different states. Now, the way China rules over their country is just that they have there's no democracy there. Now, here we have a capitalist system. Even though we're a democracy, we have a capitalist system. So we think we control everything with money. So with the disbursement of money and with everything, we think that we can continually control everything with money. And the problem is that even though the Chinese citizens are, bound to their country because of just that socialism state that they're in, here in America we have a total democracy, and we don't have to depend on listening to what the government says. We can depend on our faith. But we're not doing that because the blindness that has been shadowed, and I've said before that there's always constantly with this country here, smoke and mirrors. So now with this money disbursement now, how are you going to give people money that they can't spend? If you can't go anywhere, how are you going to spend that money? And guess what? Government has a plan.
And that's a whole conversation for another day. But what you're saying is true, because there's an underlying plan. Because their plan is to open everything back up if they have their wishes. But I bless God that we are also, we're not a socialist state, that we are a democracy, although we are a capitalist democracy. I bless God that we are a democracy, because although the national leaders are saying at such and such a point we are going to open back up, the governors and the mayors are saying, listen, we don't care what they say over there. We care about the people that live in our state. We care about the people that live in our city, and y'all not going to open up till we say y'all open up. So I bless God for them, and I want to thank you for sharing your dear Mr. President with us. But we have someone else that wanted to join in with us this evening. I want to give them a chance to come on, and she will be joining us, if I'm not mistaken, from Atlanta, Georgia. My sister, are you here for your dear Mr. President?
I am. I bring you greetings from Augusta, Georgia. And I just wanted to voice my opinion only, not on the president, and I'm not focused on China, but I just want to make it more localized because, as we were discussing earlier, that truly we are all affected. And I was discussing with someone earlier that they have certain stores here where I live that the only things that are open here in Augusta, Georgia, are the supermarkets, the gas stations, the hospitals, and things that are essential. Like if there are only restaurants that do carry out or delivery, you know, things like that. So, you know, the brother made a good point when he said they're going to send this money, but how are you going to spend it? Well, you're allowed to go out to the supermarket, thank God. Because, mm-hmm. But me, my concern was I'm disabled and I don't have a vehicle. So 2 days ago, I was blessed with my neighbor who was going out shopping, and I said, well, I need to go out and pick up some essentials that I need. We had to go to 3 different supermarkets because you can't find everything in one store anymore. You have to pray that if you see something in the first store, that if you don't get it because it's so high there, you might see it at the next store and it'd be a little cheaper, but it may not be at the next store at all, so you really don't want to leave it at the first store. I mean, this is so real. So I ended up going to 3 different supermarkets and was blessed to have a ride to do it and to get back home. But at the same time, there's a meat market here in Augusta, you know, that's, you know, fresh meats and deli and all. And he was saying that he was not going to run out of supplies or meat but because for the next 6 months because he has his own cattle and, you know, farm and all. So all his things are fresh. But you're not going to run out of meat, but you're only letting 5 to 10 people in your store at a time. And the line is 3-4 blocks long, and people have stood in line for 2 and 3 hours just to get to the store, and that's not even counting how long it takes you to get your fresh meat cut, wrapped, or paid for, or decide what you want in the store. Somebody like me, now, don't get me wrong when I say this. I am physically disabled right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am, in Jesus' name, but I'm walking through my process. But at the current time, technically, I am physically disabled and walk with a walker. So how can someone in my condition stand in a 3-4 block long line, sitting on a walker in the hot sun, and have a service dog to go and get what they need?
Wow.
It's real. And not only that, I have my daughter who is in a children's hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. Now, my cousin who was with her had to be, she's a traveling registered nurse. She got called and dispatched to another hospital in Maine. So now my 15-year-old is hospitalized in Cincinnati, Ohio, alone. No adult.
Jesus.
I can't get to her. She can't get to me. My cousin can't, you know, my cousin is not even allowed to visit her anymore because by her being a registered nurse, she's not allowed to visit certain facilities while this pandemic is going on because they are scared that she'll come in contact with something and then transfer it back to her workplace. So a lot of these workers that work in the hospital, to my knowledge, they're not even allowed to leave and go home to their families. They have them put up in hotels or either they don't leave the hospital. As a matter of fact, I just spoke to her about an hour ago, and she says, I have been awake for 24 hours.
Jesus.
So it's serious. It is serious. Like, we have, like, my daughter was having an overwhelming breakdown this morning on the phone because she don't understand exactly what's going on out here because she's in a hospital confined to one floor in a building in a room. She don't know all of this, you know, chaos that's going on out here. But in her mind, she's panicking and overwhelmed. Her mother's not there. Her family's not there. And she can't come to me. I can't come to her. She was like, Mom, you know, just come and get me. I can't travel across state lines. Some states have different rules. You know, it's just, it's affecting many more people in many different ways. And like I told my daughter today, I said, guess what, baby? We got to do one day at a time. I believe within my heart that President Trump is where he's supposed to be because God allowed him to be there. For whatever reason, he is there. Happens. God put him in their White House. I don't care if it was just to get the attention of so many people. Some people didn't even think about God until Trump got in office. So he has a, he has a perfect purpose for being there. But I'm not worried about what's going on in China. I'm not concerned about what's going on at the White House. Because the same man that I look to look out for me and that woke me up this morning is the same man that had to wake Trump up. So I'm not addressing my issues in an angry manner to dear Mr. President, because I didn't start off that way. But dear Mr. President, let me let you know, I'm not condemning you and I'm not bashing you and I'm not angry at you, but I just need you to hear the voices of how the smaller people are being affected in this pandemic. Yeah. It is so, so serious. My son works on a military base. They have had positive people on this military base for 3-4 weeks already and kept it tight-lipped and wouldn't say anything. But as soon as they found, his boss found out that a family member of mine tested positive, they sent my son home and said, you got to be tested and you got to bring the credentials back to show us your test results. So, and you have to do it ASAP so we'll know if we have to shut down. Don't do that. So as long as my son wasn't in contact with somebody positive that y'all, that we know, they didn't care about my son's well-being, because he works on a military base and at a store that is only one of a cleaner, and that cleaner is utilized by every soldier on the base. So when they had positive cases on the base already, they wasn't concerned about my son's health being exposed because they were making money. But let me tell you, as soon as they found out he had a family member that tested positive, now all of a sudden we're basing our closure upon you. No.
Jesus.
It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. But like I told my children, I'm not going to, and I told my director of, you know, of my small business, and I told everybody else that I came in contact with, I'm not worried about Corona. My focus is on the big picture, which is the one that created it all. So
amen.
If you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry,
amen,
don't pray. And fear and faith cannot be in the same place at the same time. I just want to share that with somebody, because somebody may be overwhelmed.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry, because I said amen. I said amen, and somebody might not have heard what you were saying. So say that one more time about fear and faith. Say that one more time.
Fear and faith cannot be present at the same time. And the example that I share with people to give them the perfect example of what I'm saying is, if you walk in a dark room and you flick the light switch, darkness instantly disappears and light is present. Fear and faith work on the same system. If you have fear, then you just click the switch and faith leaves. You cannot operate in both at the same time. You have to choose which one you're going to do. So just remember that you have to be, if you're going to be faithful, you can't be fearful. And you have to put your faith in the only one. I told my daughter when she was overwhelmed today at a hospital in another state, sweetie, go in your room, sit on your bed, take deep breaths, and talk to the man who can change everything. And that's what he wants the world to. Now, another example I gave my 15-year-old so that she will understand, as parents, we tell our children warnings, and we tell them when they're going down a road of destruction, and we tell them things that we want them to know so that they don't run into roadblocks and failures and mishaps. And when destruction comes, then we as parents say, you won't listen to me, but now are you going to listen to me now? Are you going to talk to me about it, or are you going to still do it your way? This is what I see as God doing now. He has warned us about destruction in our ways. He has forewarned us. He has instructed us, and we just went on doing things in our own way. So right now, at this moment, he's saying, now, are you going to talk to me, or are you going to keep doing it your way? Because you're not working. And that's what I'm hoping and praying, that a spirit of repentance will come over this country. I seen a congressman on Facebook the other day cried and said, God, forgive us of our sins. He just should have opened up the door for everybody else to feel the same way. All of us, all of us come short. And I told my baby at 15 years old, what you need to do is continuously, whenever it crosses your mind, ask God if I said anything, if I did anything, if I thought it, said it, or done it, and it's not of you, forgive me. We don't know when that guy is going to cross. So,
amen.
And here goes
the funny part. You said we don't know when the sky's going to crack, but if you know him for yourself and you read the book and you look at what's going on, you don't know when, but you know it soon.
Oh, I know that's right.
And
that's
you.
Be ready. Now is the time that you got to be ever ready, because Second Chronicles 14 is the new national anthem.
That's it.
If they ask me, my director asked me the other day inside of a conference, she said, when do you think this pandemic is going to end? I don't know why she asked me that, because I had to open up the door and let her know that Second Chronicles 7 and 14.
When my people who are called by my name will first humble themselves. And this is the part. This is the part people miss. He didn't say when all people. I gotta go here real quick, and then we're going to move on to our next deal, Mr. President. But I got to go here. You opened the door for this one. But when you look at what it says, it doesn't say if all people. It doesn't say if all creation. He said if my people. So he's talking to the body of Christ, y'all, who are called by my name. Because we think we just got it going on so much, we look down our nose because we think we know what salvation looks like. We think we know what God is doing. We just think we are him sometimes. So he wants us to first humble ourselves and then start talking with him instead of talking to him. You know, pray. Seek his faith. Then will he hear from heaven and heal our land. And when he say heal our land, he ain't just talking about where we reside at. He's talking about your actual body, your being. Remember, he bent down and formed us out of the dust of the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Augusta, Georgia, for calling in with us this evening. We have another caller on. If I'm not mistaken, this sister is from the suburb around Philadelphia. My sister, are you there to share your dear Mr. President?
I am here. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise him.
So, dear Mr. President, the topic on this panel tonight is to inform you on how COVID-19 has affected me, my household, my family, friends, and loved ones. Well, if you must know, I provide therapy to children, families, and individuals, one-on-one, in person. I provide behavior support services to children and their families. Currently, I'm unable to do that because of COVID-19. So I have many children and families who are unable to get the services that they desperately need. Mr. President, why are you going on TV every week saying that schools are going to be back in session on this date and the next date, giving my family's false hope, when you know good and well school is not going to resume on any of these dates? What do you want me to tell my families? Do you have any suggestions? And since I'm a therapist right now, I'm going to do some gestalt therapy. I'm going to put an empty chair right here, right now, since I have to talk to you. I'm going to pretend or imagine you're sitting right here next to me. And I'm not angry. So, Donald, do you mind? Donald, let's take the mic off. Camera's down. Keep in mind, I'm doing this gestalt therapy right now for anybody who's listening. That means that there's an empty chair right here, and I'm talking to the person who I need to work. I need to work through some interpersonal conflict. So, Donald, what's going on? Why didn't you react fast enough? Why didn't you react soon enough? What exactly were you thinking? How many kids do you have? Okay. So I have three, and I got three tuitions, and they're still due. Any relief fund on that? Because I still got a tuition that I have to pay with no school in session. So it's affecting me in that way as well. Okay. Could I do teletherapy? Yeah, I can. But do you think that that's going to be really effective with little 3 and 4 and 5-year-old children who's autistic? How effective do you think that's going to be trying to help a parent who needed a lot of resources and help before this happened? Are you able to provide me and my peers with any answers for this? Why didn't you take this seriously? I can't hear you. What was on your mind? Are you drinking? Do you drink, Donald? We want to know. We want to know why the virus is spreading like wildfires, and there's still people parading outside, and there's nothing in place for that. We like to know that as well. How do you plan to stop it? How do you plan to be effective? Because in my field of work, my treatment plans and my interventions got to be effective immediately. Or the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You see where I'm going? Okay. So how can I help? That's where I'm at right now. How can I help? What can I do? What can we do to help you? Because you could use our help at this point. We got a lot of questions. But right now, I'm just supposed to talk about how I'm affected. I have to look at 3, 4, and 5-year-old autistic children and try to come up with, how am I going to help you and your mother? How am I going to help you over the phone with your sensory-related issues? Because it's been over 2 weeks. Donald, how do you think my 3, 4, and 5-year-olds are reacting right now? What do you think is going on in their homes? I'm going to go on your Twitter, and I see that you typically do a lot of talking, but you're not saying anything that's making any sense. Nothing's really adding up the more that we listen to you. So are you able to tell the person who just talked to you how she's supposed to get around and get her essentials on her walker? She's disabled. Are you able to tell any of the loved ones, any of the family members who have loved ones that's in nursing homes right now, and the whole nursing home has been spread with COVID? What should we do about that? What am I supposed to do about my loved one who's incarcerated and COVID is in the jail? What are the solutions? What is the cure? That's what we want to know.
Yes. And you know what? That's right there. What is the cure? What is the cure? When is the cure? Where is the cure? I love the fact that you spoke about a graphic and a demographic that is not really talked about. We talk about the elderly. We talk about atypical school-age children. We talk about young adults and teenagers and what they're doing. But we have not talked about those children, those young children who are in need of services, who cannot get the services that they really and truly need to be able to learn how to function later on in life. Because action wasn't taken when it was supposed to have been taken. I thank you so much for calling in and joining in with us. We have the motherboard that is going to come with us, so we are going to push the call of salvation back because we have one more dear Mr. President that we want to get on before we bring on the motherboard. So we are going to bring on, we have one coming, and I'm sorry, and I said one more, we have two more. We have one coming in from right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then, of course, you know, it would be unjust and unfair for me to ask you to voice how you feel and I not voice what I am watching and seeing take place. So for the caller from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my sister, are you there?
Hello, hello, hello. Praise the Lord, hello. Everybody. Hi, can you hear
Praise
me?
Them. Yes, we can.
How? Oh, this is, it goes like yesterday what I was saying, how the United States and us as a Christian society, how we never go to God and ask for him for permission or direction. Now everything is going wrong, but like Mary was saying, God has Donald Trump where he's supposed to be. And I thank God
Amen.
For that, because now we're at a point in our life where as Christians, when we should have stood up when they were taking prayer out of school, we complained to each other, but we didn't complain to stand up and make a stand and shut down the street. But now we're at a point
Amen.
Where everything is shut down. Now we're complaining. But when we should have did that when it was, like I said, taking prayer from schools, taking prayer out of hospitals, telling them you can't do this, you can't do that, as long as God or Jesus' name is in this. But now that the world is going upside down, who we calling? Oh,
Look
God, oh, Lord, here I am. Oh, wait a minute. Why didn't y'all do that 3 weeks ago? Why didn't y'all fast and pray like your pastors was telling you 3 weeks ago? Why are you still not opening your Bibles up only on Sunday? But yet still you complaining now. Oh, the city of Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
Atlanta, Jewel, everybody is shut down. But like you were saying, the Pledge of Allegiance, if the people are called by my name, he's talking to us. He's coming. Come on now, bitch, get it right. Get it
yeah.
right. Learn to pray from your heart, that real place, not that stony heart that can't get a prayer across. We want a sincere prayer. That's all our Father is crying out for. Talk to me, my children. Call me. I'm here. But we
Amen.
y'all just don't understand.
That, and you know what? It don't get no better than right there that we have to begin to go to God in prayer. And that's why we have the motherboard with us this evening, because we are going to close out in prayer. But before we go there, I must, as I said, I am going to read my dear Mr. President, and then after that, we are going to be blessed prayerfully. Sister Adrian is on the line. We're going to be blessed with a selection because she just got a praise in her right now. She got a song in her in the inside that she can't keep to herself. So we just going to let her come on and bless us in ministry and music. And then the motherboard, after she comes, is going to go into prayer. And when the motherboard comes on, we'll go in this order just so they'll know ahead of time. it will be Mother Janice, then Mother Mary, then Mother Maureen, and I will close out. Amen. So I'm going to read really quickly my dear Mr. President. It says, "Dear Mr. President, today as I sit in my home for this, the 12th day of this stay-at-home order, and I listen to the updates of what is going on all across this country and around me, I must admit I am utterly disappointed. On March 11th, there was an Oval Office speech that I am more than sure everyone thought would convey the seriousness of this situation. And although we were told the importance of hand washing, the vibe was then switched from giving information to blaming others, self-congratulating yourself, and giving out misinformation. So much so that your presidential aides had to correct three of your statements when you were done. Mr. President, in case no one told you, two decades ago, under George W. Bush's presidency, the federal government developed guidelines for communicating during a public health crisis. The core principles of these guidelines are: be first, be right, be credible, show respect, and promote action. Fortunately, as I sit here today, I must admit that none of these guidelines of communicating have been followed. You were not the first to report the seriousness of it, but was instead the first to downplay it and ridicule anyone who dared to tell you that the information you were given was wrong. None of the information that has been given from your administration, mainly you, has been right since your first statement of calling it a Democratic hoax. We have not received credible information because the prepared speeches that are written are never just read or followed. Instead, we get personal opinions, which are usually wrong and disrespectful. As for promoting action, the call to see the economy open back up by Easter, when we still have sick citizens of this country and people who have not even been tested, who may not even know that they are sick yet. It appears that the only real concern is the economy, not the health and safety of the citizens that you will put in that office to lead, guide, and protect. Mr. President, we are not mere numbers. We are not the list of numbers that you look at on a daily basis. As you just heard this evening, we are real people, real families. People are grieving loved ones. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, and friends are living in concern, are living some in worry, some just stepping out on faith, but they are living trying to figure out how bills will get paid, when they will be able to go back to work. People are concerned about if they're going to get sick, and God forbid if they do get sick, will there be enough medical supplies to help facilitate their recovery? Mr. President, if anyone else in America was as negligent on the job in the mannerism that this current administration has currently been, and their negligence led to 1,518 plus deaths, they would be facing, at the very least, gross negligent homicide or manslaughter charges. At the start and the onset of all of this, I was totally upset with what you were doing and how you were doing it. But now, I must admit, now I feel sorry for you. That's right. Now, I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you because you think that what you're doing really makes sense. I feel sorry for you because you think that everything in life is about money. I feel sorry for you because at times you act like no one ever took the time to teach you the God-given sense that was given to a roach. So therefore, Mr. President, we're not going to condemn you this evening. We're going to pray for you. Because I know that no matter how great you think you are, that God is greater than you. My grandfather used to tell me, when you can't tell the person about God, tell God about the person. See, you may be the president of the United States, but the person we are about to talk to, he is the King of Kings. You may have power, but he has all power in heaven and earth and death in the grave in his hand. You may have riches, but he owns the earth and the fullness thereof. You may be important, but he is the great I am. So because of this, we are going to pray. We are going to pray for you, for the leaders under you. Most importantly, we are going to pray for the first responders, for the medical staff, and for all those essential workers who are going out every day putting themselves at risk, so that we can continue to survive. And we are going to tell Jesus about you, because at times I believe that no one has ever really truly told you about him. So we are going to pray. But not just for the people we listed. We are going to pray for everyone. Because when I look at what's going on around me, Mr. President, I'm reminded of the plagues of Egypt. When God came against the false gods of Egypt with 10 plagues to cause the release of the children of Israel. Well, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God of Moses, the same God of Israel, the same God back then, the great I am, the balm of Gilead, the one who holds us up on the wings of an eagle, the Alpha and the Omega, he has knocked down with one plague every false god we have standing in America. We worshiped athletes. God shut down the stadium. We worshiped musicians. God shut down the civic center. We worshiped actors. God shut down the theater. We worshiped money. God shut down the economy and is collapsing the stock market. Some of you made pastors and different ministers your demigods. So guess what? God shut down the churches. But remember what he has told us in his word. Remember what you have heard us quote over and over and over again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So, Mother Boy, get ready so that we can come together touching and agreeing on God's word. Let's begin to seek his faith, as Sister Adrian ministers to us in song, and then we are going to come back in prayer. Amen. Sister Adrian.
Behold how good and how present it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. Unity, Lord, we unity, unity, unity. Lord, we pray for unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, God, hallelujah. How pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. Hallelujah, God. Mother Jane.
Yes. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven, I come to you, Lord, as almost as I know how, asking you, Lord Jesus, just please, Father God, refresh the earth, refresh your people, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come to you, Lord Jesus, asking you, just bear with us right now, Lord Jesus. Please, Father God, put your healing arm around the earth, Lord Jesus. Touch the people in the world, Lord Jesus. Let them know that you're coming back, Lord Jesus. Let them know that they all must get ready, Lord Jesus. Because right now, Lord Jesus, we need you. If nobody has needed you before, we need you right now, Father God. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord. Put your healing arm around them, Lord Jesus. Let them know, Lord Jesus, that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that you're King and King and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for all the things that you have done in our lives, Lord Jesus. Everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, just come here, Lord Jesus. Walk through the earth, Lord Jesus. Just spread your healing power, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord Jesus, let the ones that don't believe that you're still here doing miracles and making things right, Lord Jesus, let them see today's miracle, Lord Jesus. Let them see today's miracles so they can do what they need to do in you, Lord Jesus, so they can get down on their knees and ask for forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, show them that they need to turn from their wicked ways, Lord Jesus. Show them, Lord Jesus, that they need you right now, Lord Jesus. Father God, I just want to thank you for everything, Lord Jesus. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I can't thank you enough, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, walk through my home tonight, Lord Jesus. Walk through my children's home tonight, Lord Jesus. Right now, we're in a battle right now with Satan. Satan, you are a liar and you can't have us right now. Satan, you got to go. You got to get me behind us, Satan. Leave our people alone. Leave them 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 alone. Yes, Jesus, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Going to the highways and the byways. Going to the mental institutions. Going to these churches tonight, Lord Jesus. Going to the homes, Lord Jesus. Let your people know that you're here, Lord Jesus. You said knocking, the door should be open, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord Jesus, I'm here. I'm knocking as hard as I can, Lord Jesus, asking for you to open this door, Lord Jesus. I'm down here on bended knees, Lord Jesus. You said asking it should be given, Lord Jesus. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, as long as I know how, Lord Jesus, please, Father God, please, Father God, please, Father God, please, Father God, just give it to us, Lord Jesus. Give it to us in the way that you should, in the way that we should have it, Lord Jesus. I just want to thank you. I 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 want to thank you. And, Lord Jesus, please, please, Father God, remember the ones that's taking care of everything that's out here now, Lord Jesus, the essentials. Lord Jesus, remember them all, Lord Jesus. Remember them from the doctors to the nurses to the sisters and the brothers, the aunts and the uncles and the mothers that's taking care of their sick children, taking care of their sick sister or brother, Lord Jesus. Remember them all. Remember, Lord Jesus, most of all, Lord Jesus, remember the ones that giving just putting their lives on the line, Lord Jesus. The ones that's in the stores tonight, Lord Jesus. that's still standing by and doing what they need to do to help people, Lord Jesus. Remember them, touch them, Lord Jesus. Touch them and heal their bodies, Lord Jesus. Heal their minds and heal their souls, Lord Jesus. Give them all your knowledge and understanding, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In your mighty name, Lord Jesus, I always think that I ask of you, Lord Jesus. I am right here accepting, and I'm believing that you will bring forth today's miracle. Bring forth your miracle today so that your people will see and know that you are real. Hallelujah. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mother Mary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I come as humbly as I can, God, as humbly as I know how, God. I come to you, Lord, in the form of intercessory, God. I stand in the gap for those, God, that may not even know how to approach you, God. I come to you, Lord, in the gap of those who may have backslidden, God. And I'm also standing in the gap for those of you that don't know you, God. I'm asking you, Lord, that you might do a mighty sweep through this whole global United States and there abroad, God. Asking you, Lord, to let there be a mass of God. Touch the hearts of your people, and nobody can do it but you, like you, God. I ask you, Lord, that you might touch their hearts and their minds, that they may be receptive to you, God, because the time is near, God. And I ask you, Lord, that you may be merciful enough to let the hearts be opened of those that need to accept you, God, and to renew their minds, God. I ask you, Lord, to touch each person that's on this line listening, God. Touch them in their homes, God. Give them a peace, God, about it, God. Give them a peace within you, Lord. Asking you, Lord, to let them feel the faithful side and not fear, God. Let them, you do not give us the spirit of fear, God, so we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. God, I present to you all of the children, God, who are innocent in this, God. We ask your mass protection over all of them. Even that are coming into this world in this time right now, God, protect them, God. Protect them, God. Asking you, Lord, to guide, guard, and protect each medical and staff and doctor and nurse that's out there, Lord, during this time, God. Put your hedge of protection around them. At the end of the day, God, give us all the wisdom, God. Give us the wisdom and the guidance that we need from you, Lord, that you may just guide us to the right things to do or the right direction to go in, God. We need you in every way possible, God. We need you in areas we don't even know that we need you in. And, God, I just lift up everything to you, God, and I release it to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for peace, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for faith, God. I thank you, Lord, for the belief factor, God. Forgive those in their unbelief, God. Help them, God. Touch the church that is open, God. Touch each pastor, each minister, each representative of you, God, of the cross court of the kingdom, God. Asking you, Lord, to let us be the Jesus that some folks will only see. We may be the only Jesus that they see, God. Let our light shine. Let our oil, our lamps burn with oil, God. Let us be presented to those that need to be presented to, Lord. Teach us what to say to somebody today, God. Even if it's just one person, God, it's worth the kingdom walk, God. And I thank you, Lord. Even those in the hospital, Lord, even my baby, God, touch them, Lord, that they may get an unction, God, to just talk to you, get to know you, repent to you, and just worship you, God. This is what we were created for. And I thank you, Lord, you make no mistakes, and everything that you do is for a good and perfect reason. Just give us the mindset to be pleasing to you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for Purpose Kingdom Network, God. I thank you for each minister and each layperson, each person in their respective places, God. Encourage us, strengthen us, guide us, and just continue to hold us up that we may reach abroad to somebody somewhere, God, that needs you, don't know you, God, don't know how to come back to you, God. Touch the elderly, God. Protect even my mother, God, as she's there in Philadelphia, God. Protect them, God, and teach them how to, those that don't know you, Lord, how to walk in your way, Lord. Touch it. Put your arms around the bereaved families, God, that are all over the world today, God. We just need you on every level, God, and I present to you, I just hold them all up, God, in my arms, and I just hold them up to you, Lord, as an advocate. I thank you, Lord, for me and my body, God. Thank you, Lord, for my mindset, God. Thank you, Lord, for being an instrument to somebody that may need whatever they need from you, God. But show me what to say and what to do, God, to represent you in the best way that I can, God. Touch our president, Lord. Renew his mind. Touch his heart. Guide him. Give him the wisdom he needs. Direct the rest of the board panels and Congress and everybody that's underneath him, God. You are the one that I'm looking for, God, and I just ask you to use him as an instrument, God. From the White House to my house, God, I just give everything to you in control, and I just thank you, Lord, and I thank you, God, for each and every person here that's in the sound of my voice. Thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, again, for giving us the opportunity to reach out another day, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Reverend Moray. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah,
thank you,
Father
Jesus.
God. Hallelujah, all minds clear. Father God, we just want to ask you for forgiveness today. If we said anything, thought anything that offended you, Lord, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord God. Father God, we come to you for prayer for the government. Father God, we ask for prayer for the first responders, the police department, the correctional facilities, hospitals, and down, Lord God. Father God, we ask for prayer for the families that's in stress right now, Lord God. Nobody knows all the desires of their heart, Lord God, but you did it for a reason, because before anything gets done, the devil has to ask you for permission, and you granted it. So, Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you for the healing in advance. We don't know when it's coming, but, Lord God, we know it's coming. Father God, we just ask for you to shower down your blood and cover us, Lord God, for those that are righteous that are called by your name, Lord God, that's trying to do the right thing, Lord God. We just ask you for your prayer of protection, Lord God, around the cities and the country, Lord God, that's affected more and more every day, Lord God, 10,000, 1,000, Lord God. Father God, we don't know the desires of everyone's heart, but we ask you to please soften their hearts, Lord God. Let them listen and lean on you, Lord God, because when we took prayer from our families, from our churches, from our homes, from the schools, from the hospitals, we asked for it. Oh, Lord God, did we ask for it? Lord God, yes, we did. Yes, we did, because we didn't stand up like we were supposed to for you, Lord God. We did not stand up the way we were supposed to for you, Lord God. We can shut down the cities and our homes and turn plates down, Father God, but we turning our plates down right now, Lord God. We praying to you like never before, Lord God. So we asking you, Lord God, we just strengthen our country, Lord God. Heal the land, Lord God. Please, Lord God, we have congressmen that's praying and asking for forgiveness. Now, if all of us can stand up and say the same thing, just forgive us for our shortcomings. Father God, from the churches, from the pulpit to the back door, Lord God, forgive me and my family if we fell short. Let it start with the man in the mirror, Lord God. Just hear our prayers, Lord God. Just fill our doors with your blood, Lord God. Father God, we need you like never before. But that was the purpose of the cities being shut down, to get our attention. I think you did a great job getting it, Lord God. You did a great job getting it, Lord God. But when you crack the sky, that'll be the end, and it's coming near. You're trying to get us on our toes. You're humbling us, Lord God. Let them know you are real. You're the same God back then that you are. If you did it, you did it then with the plague. And this is just like the plague, Lord God. So we asking you, heal our government. Heal our land. Heal our government, Lord God. Let it be peaceful, love. Yes, Lord God. Father God, we just thank you again for all you've done and all you're going to continue to do. Just we're praying for a healing, Lord God. A healing that only you can do. The same way it came is the same way it's going to leave. when you get ready. So whenever you're ready, I'll be ready to stand with you. So remember me. Remember the Purpose Kingdom family. We're fighting for this country right now. We're leaning on you right now, like never before. And these are the prayers of the mothers, Lord God. Hear our humbling cry. We're crying out, Lord God. We're crying out for your love, Lord God. Shower down like rain. Yay, God, right now, Lord God. Heal the land. We need a nice cold front. Because you know you and the cold go hand in hand. So let that cold front come that can kill anything. And all these prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God.
Father God, I come before you this evening with a concerned heart because of what I see going on all around me, but I come with a rejoicing spirit because I know that all things work together for the good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. And because of that, Father God, I know that the love that I have for you, because of that, Father God, I know that I have been called according to your purpose. And I know that I may not see it now, but I know that somehow, some way, you are going to work this all for my good. So because I trust you, I come to you this evening. Because we trust you, Father, we come to you this evening in the name of Jesus. And we come to you not leaning to our own understanding, but we come to you acknowledging in all our ways, acknowledging you. We come to you asking that you will direct our path. We come to you, Father, seeking your face. We come to you seeking your word. We come to you to be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path in the mighty name of Jesus. For, Father, we know that you are our El Shaddai, the Almighty God. We know, Father, that you are our El Olim, the everlasting, eternal God. We know that you are our El Elyon, the Most High God. Hallelujah, God. You are our El Roy, the all-seeing God. Hallelujah, God. So we come to you this evening as you have given us the way and the opportunity to do some. Hallelujah, God. We come to you this evening first as your children, your creation. We come as bad children before a good father, a loving father. We come to ask for forgiveness this evening. We come to say we are sorry this evening. We say we are sorry for not seeking your face. We are sorry for not talking with you. We are sorry for not spending real quality time with you. We are sorry for the sins that we have committed through thought, deed, and action, knowingly and unknowingly. Father, we come asking forgiveness. We come requesting a spirit of repentance upon this nation. We ask that you will cast it all into yonder sea of forgetfulness, that it not rise up against us in that day of judgment. In the mighty, hallelujah, God, name of Jesus, Father, we stand before you this evening asking for mercy for your children. We come, hallelujah, God, asking for mercy for ourselves. We come standing in the gap this evening as Abraham pledged for Sodom and Gomorrah. Would you spare them if you found one righteous soul? We come, Father God, standing in the gap, pleading as Moses did for the children of Israel, begging you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, you would turn your fierce wrath away from us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come calling on you as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, that you loved us so much that you took on the form of man and you allowed yourself to lay down your life on an old rugged cross. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. Hallelujah, God. You allow the chastisement of our peace to be placed upon you, and by your stripes we are healed, Father. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would release a healing spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Lord, look down on our government and leadership, for we know that it is you who put people in places of power. We know that it is you who can tear them down. We ask, God, that you will touch our leaders this evening, touch their hearts, touch their mind, touch their conscience in the name of Jesus. Release a godly spirit of wisdom upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We ask, God, that you will look over our governors and mayors and continue to give them to the strength to stand for their people in the mighty name of Jesus. Look down on first responders and hospitals, doctors, essential workers, correctional officers, whoever they may be, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, keep your huge outstretched arms around them, protect them, and keep them safe. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are our Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. Well, we come believing you this evening to meet the medical supplies that are needed this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. I just believe that you are going to do it, and I believe you are going to start right now, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Touch each and every one, Father God, under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah, God. As they look for a vaccine, I plead the blood. Hallelujah, God. I plead the blood. Hallelujah, God. For I know that the blood, hallelujah, is power in the blood of Jesus. I know that there is healing in the blood of Jesus. I know that there is deliverance in the blood of Jesus. So I plead the blood this evening. Hallelujah, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I plead the blood over our leadership. I plead the blood over our nations. I plead the blood over everybody, our families, our friends, myself, in the mighty name of Jesus. I just plead the blood. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and good night. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus bless.
Hallelujah, God.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.